Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, Apostle.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, it's a good day. Glory to God. I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. I tell you, this is the most exciting time. It's the time to spend in the Word. Hello, Apostle. How are you doing?
I'm blessing you and you. How are you doing, Pastor Apostle?
Doing wonderful. I'm so grateful that God has given me another opportunity to get into His Word and to share His Word to anyone who would listen, to anyone who would listen. And I'm so grateful. And I'm telling you that what you're doing, you're listening to the Word. I tell you that His Word will go forth and not come back void.
Amen.
I tell you, something is happening when you sit and you listen to the Word of God.
Amen. Praise.
Amen.
Praise. Amen.
Glory to God. So I'm grateful for this opportunity. This is a powerful opportunity. You know, before Jesus, before Yeshua caught his cloud to glory, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And he says, and lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of time.
Amen. He's
with you, Apostle. He's with you as you're making disciples, as you're sending his word out. He's with
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. If you got your Bibles today, turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, what's going on here? Well, let's begin at verse 1. I'll work my way down to the topic, to the title of the message. Started at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and began at verse 1, and it says that it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, Jehoshaphat, he loves God. Jehoshaphat is a believer of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Almighty, true living God. And he loves God, and he's leading God's people. Now there's three armies, three nations coming up against Jehoshaphat. Three vast armies, three humongous, enormous armies coming up against the people of God and Jehoshaphat. Verse 2 says, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Agedo. And Jehoshaphat feared. He feared. He got afraid because a multitude, a vast army, an enormous army, three nations are coming against him to fight him. So fear grips Jehoshaphat, and he sets himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. I tell you, the enemy, you know what, the enemy has. The enemy is he pushes us to prayer. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The enemy, you got to look at it that way. The enemy, when he hits you, when he comes against you, he pushes us to prayer. Here's a vast army, a vast enemy coming up against Jehoshaphat. And what does Jehoshaphat? What does he do? What does Jehoshaphat do? He begins to fast and he begins to pray. The enemy pushed him to prayer. The enemy pushes us to depend on God. That's a good thing. That's a good thing when the enemy pushes us to depend on God. Some people might make jokes. Every time he gets in trouble, every time things get hard, he's always running to God. Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to run to God. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Good God Almighty. Now, they're in trouble. Three vast armies are coming up against Jehoshaphat and God's people. Enormous armies coming up against Jehoshaphat and God's people. He set himself to seek God. He begins to fast. He begins to pray. And he begins to ask God for help. That reminds me of David. That reminds me of the psalmist. You remember that apostle? He said, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles."
That's what
he said. It's a good thing to ask God for help. It's a good thing to ask God for help. That's a good thing. Now, he's been pushed to prayer. He's been pushed to depend on God because the enemy has come out against him. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. All of them began to seek the Lord, Apostle. All of them, they needed help. A vast army was coming up, three vast armies, three nations were coming against them, the enemy, and they needed help. And look at verse 5, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem." He stands in the middle of all Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?" Good God Almighty. He said, "Aren't you God in heaven and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" He says, "You're God and you rule over all heaven and you rule over all the heathen, God. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Good God Almighty. He's boasting in God. You know, he said, "God, I know you're the God of heaven. You rulest over the heathen." And look at verse 7. He says, "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built their sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment of pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction." You see, that's what we do. We need to cry unto God in our affliction. Remember Psalm 34, verse 19? "Many of are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Then thou would hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us." Have you ever just felt like, man, I'm in trouble. I don't have what it takes to handle all this trouble that's coming up against me? You see, sometimes, you know, a little battles, you know, God gives us the power and he helps us in that. But you know what? Sometimes, man, we have trouble. Isn't that right, Apostle? On every side.
On every side.
I mean, the car breaks down. The dog runs away. I mean, the cat shoots the finger at you. I mean, people roll their eyes at you. I mean, you go through so much trouble on every side. The washing machine breaks down. I mean, you need money to pay bills. I mean, you're lacking and you're being attacked by the enemy on every side. Sometimes it gets like that, don't it, Apostle? Sometimes it gets, more
yes,
than we can handle. And so here's Jehoshaphat. He's calling on God. And matter of fact, all the people of Jerusalem and Judah, they're calling on God for help. They're calling on God. God, help me. I need some help, God. And look at verse 13. And all Judah, look at verse 13 now. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their babies, and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, and all these people right here, the Levite, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now here's Judah. Here's all of Jerusalem and Judah. They've come before God to ask God for help. And they're boasting and bragging. Jehoshaphat saying, you're the God of the heathen. You're the God of the heaven. You're almighty God. They're boasting in God. Now the Spirit of God has fell upon this brother. It fell upon this brother, and he's getting ready to prophesy to God Almighty. God's answering Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and Jerusalem. He's getting ready to answer them through the mouth of a prophet. Glory to God. Look at verse 15. And he said, hearken, listen, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen now, God's getting ready to talk to you through me. Listen to the prophecy that God's getting ready to give you now. You've been boasting in God. You've been praising and worshiping God. You've been calling on God and fasting and asking him for help because you're in trouble and you need his help. And three vast armies, a humongous army, and three nations are getting ready to come against you. The enemy is getting ready to come against you. Now, I want you to listen now. The Spirit of God is upon me, and I'm going to prophesy. God's getting ready to talk through the people through this prophet, and he says, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. Good God Almighty.
Be not afraid, nor
be dismayed. Don't be dismayed or worried or confused about what's going on. I know the enemy's coming up against you, but I'm talking to you now. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, be not afraid. Don't be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. I know it's a lot of trouble coming against you, but don't worry about it. Don't be confused about it. Don't be afraid about what you see that's going on. Look what he goes on to say in verse 3. He said, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Glory to God. He said, don't be afraid. I'm answering you. You know what? God is answering the prayer, Apostle Honey. Jehoshaphat and the people begin to cry out to God because this great vast army was getting ready to come against them. And now God's answering them through the mouth of a prophet, and he's saying, be not afraid. God's talking to those who are listening all around the world tonight. You're having some trouble. You're having some problems. Now God is answering your prayer. You've been calling out to him, asking him to help you. Now he's answering your prayer. He says, be not afraid, nor be dismayed. He says, for the battle is not yours. He says, step back. Now I know it's too much for you to handle. I know, but step back, son. Step back, daughter. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to take care of this situation. He says, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Now in verse 16, he says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. He says in verse 17, he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. glory to God. He said, you shall need, he's talking to you, children of God. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation, the delivering power of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Good God Almighty. I tell you, the battle is the Lord. And that's the word of God to those who are listening all around the world today that are facing trouble. You're facing trouble. You're facing big-time trouble. God says the battle is his. The battle is not yours. You shall not need to fight in this battle. I see your worship. You just continue worshiping and praising God and honoring God. He says you shall not need to fight in this battle. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The message is the battle is the Lord. That word battle in Hebrew is milchamah. Milchamah. That's the word Hebrew word for battle. And it's warfare. It's fighting. It's war. It's battle. God says the milchamah, is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord. Number one, God says, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. I know you're facing trouble on every side. God wants to bring you some comfort. He wants to bring you some strength, and he says, you don't have to be afraid. Be not afraid. He says, fear not. Look at 2 Chronicles 20:15. Isn't that what he said, Apostle?
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, fear not. But God, but fear not. But God, I got three nations coming against me, the enemy's coming against me, fear not. But God, I got bills that are due, fear not. But God, the doctor said, the doctor gave me a bad report, fear not. But God, my children are misbehaving. Fear not. No. But God, my church membership, 90% of them walked out on me. Fear not.
No.
The battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's.
Glory
to God. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, child of God. When you're in the will of God, the enemy's always going to get you on his radar. The enemy's going to get you on his radar, and he's going to come against you. If you could ask Nehemiah over in Nehemiah chapter 4, he'll tell you, yeah, when you begin the work of God, the enemy will come at you in every direction. And he'll try to bring fear and try to hinder the work of God. Yeah, the enemy, child of God. See, the enemy attacks us when we're in the will of God. When we're doing what God wants us to do, the enemy will attack you. Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem began to rebuild the wall over that had been torn down and broken down. They began to rebuild the wall, Nehemiah, and then Sanballat. Remember Sanballat and his boys, Apostle? Sanballat and his boys, man, they heard that they were rebuilding the wall, and man, they got indignant. They got upset. And they tried to hinder the work that Nehemiah and the children of Jerusalem were doing. They tried to stop the rebuilding of the wall. Anytime you step out and you're doing a work of God, Apostle, and those who are listening all around the world, the enemy will attack you. He'll come at you with everything, including the kitchen sink. He'll throw everything at you. He tried to trick Nehemiah out of building the wall. And Nehemiah, what did Nehemiah say, Apostle? He said, the work is too great. I can't come down. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. They begin to criticize Nehemiah. They said, Nehemiah, if a fox get up on that wall, it'll knock the whole wall down. You see, the enemy will even mock you and criticize you when you're doing a mighty work of God. But God said, be not afraid. Man, they said they were going to come after Nehemiah, and they were coming after him to kill him and everything. And Nehemiah, he said, shall a man like me run? Nehemiah, something that. He said, shall a man like me run? I'm not going to run. Then they tried to get him down off the wall, and he said, the work is too great. I can't come down. I will not come down. Don't let the devil make you afraid and stop you from doing the mighty great work of God that God has you doing. Be not afraid. Fear not. For the Lord, this is the battle that the Lord is fighting. The battle is the Lord's. The enemy will criticize your work. He'll criticize you. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm going to want you to look at that right quick. I don't know. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. Go with it to Nehemiah chapter 4. Yeah, I want you to see that in the Word. Nehemiah chapter 4.
My God.
Yeah, the enemy will come and he'll fight you, but God says, be not afraid. This battle is not yours, but this battle is mine. Go over to Nehemiah. I can show you in the Word. Nehemiah chapter 4. I tell you, the Word of God has the answer to everything. Nehemiah chapter 4, and look at verses 1 through 9. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, he heard that Nehemiah and his crew was rebuilding the wall, and he got angry. He says he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews. He mocked the Jews. He began to mock them. See, the enemy will begin to mock you. Oh, what Apostle Hunter's doing ain't nothing. Oh, that bar talk radio show, what he's doing ain't nothing. People will look at, oh, ain't nothing what you're doing. Well, who is that? That's the enemy mocking God. He's mocking you because of the work that God is doing through you. He's mocking. Anytime you do a work for God, you'll be mocked. The enemy will mock you. Do you see that in the Word?
Yes.
He said, but in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat, that's the enemy, heard that Nehemiah and him were rebuilding the wall, he was wroth. He was angry. And he took great indignation. And what did he do? He mocked the Jews. He mocked the Jews. Now go down to verse 3. Go down to verse 3. Now Tobiah and the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up on that wall, he shall even break down their stone wall. See, the enemy's mocking the Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the wall. Said, man, what you're doing ain't nothing. If a little bitty fox go up there and get on that wall, the whole wall will fall down. See, the enemy's fucking, oh, man, what are you doing? Man, those little bitty, few little people in your church. Oh, man, what's the few little people, your little blog talk radio? Oh, man, you ain't doing nothing. See, but you are doing something. That's why you're on the devil's radar. That's why he's mocking you, because you are being effective. You are being used by God to do something that's great and effective and wonderful. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. So look in verse 6. So built the wall. They went on and continued to build the wall. And the wall was joined together. Look at verse 4. Oh, our God, for we are despised. See, the enemy will despise you. The enemy will mock you. The enemy will criticize you. And the enemy will conspire and come against you and fight against you to hinder the work. Go down to verse 8. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder the work, to hinder it, to hinder the work. So the devil, he's just showing his hand. He's just showing you. God is using him as a flunky. He's being used by God to show you that you're in the will of God, because the devil will always attack you when you're doing the will of God.
See it, brother, see it.
He's mad at you. You're on Satan's radar because you're doing the will of God. He's trying to hinder you and stop you. But God says, number one, fear not. Fear not. Number two, he already told us that we shall not need to fight in this battle. So number two, take your hands off the situation. Take your hands off the situation. Sometimes God says, step aside, my boy. Step aside, my girl. Step aside. I got this lightweight. Step aside, my boy. I got this lightweight. See, sometimes it's so much that we can't do anything about the situation, but he can. And God steps in and says, take your hands off, my boy. Take your hands off the situation, my girl. That's the second point. Take your hands off the situation. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he what? He cared for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. God says, take your hands off the situation. We don't always need to be doing something. Sometimes God takes over and says, hey, man, I got this. I got this. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. Look what the Lord tells Jehoshaphat. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your hand off the situation. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Oh, good God. I'm about to get up there and run up out of here. Apostle, you remember when Moses, Apostle, when Moses led, God sent Moses into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of bondage after being in bondage for 400 years?
Yes, sir.
You remember that? Now, here's Moses. Moses is leading them. But you know God is ultimately leading them by a pillar of fire at night. And by a pillar of a cloud, by what? The daytime, isn't that right?
Right, yes it is.
Now the enemy is hot on their trail. Good God, man, I'm off the center. I'm going to stop after this. But the enemy is hot on their trail now, hot on their trail, and they're coming to kill and try to take them back to bondage, take them back to Egypt, the Pharaoh. He's leading his army, and they're going after the children of God. Now check out what God does. He's the pillar of he's the cloud. He's in the cloud and the pillar of fire by night. Now God goes behind the Israelites, and he gets in between the Egyptians. Now here's God in the middle. He's in the middle. He said, "I'm going to fight for you." He's in the middle now. Glory to God. He's in the middle of them saying that I'm going to fight for you. Isn't that awesome? He's in the middle. And look, I just want you to look. I'm about out of time. He's in the middle of the Egyptians, and he's in the Egyptians and his people. God's in the middle. He's in the middle. Go to look at Exodus chapter 14. I'm almost out of time. Exodus chapter 14. Can I just read the scripture, Apostle?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 14. I just got to show you this one. Now God, he goes in the middle of them. He goes in the middle. Look at verse 19. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, he removed and went behind them. Now he's in the middle. God's in the middle. The angel of God's in the middle. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp and the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these.
My.
Now check this out now. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians. He's in the middle. God's in the cloud. Isn't that right, Apostle?
That's
now,
right.
I bet you this would scare the clothes off of somebody. Look at here. And the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians. How do you look at? Through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighted for them against the Egyptians. God Almighty stuck his face, and he looked through the cloud, Apostle, and he looked at the enemy. And I tell you, even the chariots got scared, and their wheels fell off. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, the child of God, that the battle is the Lord. And we know ultimately that, that God, he tricked them. They said, come on, come on, just a little closer. Come on. The children of Israel went through the other side, through the Red Sea on dry ground. And he said, come on, come on, come on. He called for them to come on and fooled them, tricked them, set them up, got them up in the middle of the Red Sea and closed the Red Sea up on them. The battle is the Lord. And that's the word God wanted me to give to you, all those that listen tonight. The battle is the Lord. No one can beat Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. No one can beat the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's on your side, and he's fighting for you. Take your hands off the situation. You don't have to be afraid, and take your hands off the situation. Follow God's instructions. And remember how he cared for you before, he'll do it again. And that's the word of the Lord, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Praise the living God.
The battle is the Lord's. You shall not need to fight in this battle. The battle is the Lord.
Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Woo!
Good God Almighty. Have you ever seen that before, Apostle? God stuck his face through the cloud and looked at the Egyptians. Woo. Man, I mean, that was such an awesome sight that the chariot wheels fell off the Egyptians' chariot.
The fear of the Lord looked down, just looked down, showed his face. Good God Almighty. Do we have, does the pastor there, is he on there? Pastor, are you there?
I most certainly am. That was a good word. Good word.
Oh, glory to God.
God does fight for us. In fact, boy, I'll tell you what, man, there's been in the church of man that God has been really moving, and I've been having the with the people coming up in prayer, needing prayer, and I tell them, I said, you know, you just need to lay it all down before God. Just lay it all down right now. So God will take that from you right now. And then, as soon as they release it, then there's an anointing. There's such an aroma in the room that it just fills, and the people are just falling out and just being filled with a newness, and they're coming up and they're going, I've never experienced anything like this. They're just amazed at how God is moving when you just let go. Just let go. That's all you have to do, and let God take care of it. That's the same way.
Amen.
With the same way in the people in their marriages that are having trouble, you know. God sat there and he created, we all know he created Adam and Eve, you know. And then through it all, we also know that Adam sat there and he looked upon Eve and says, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, and that of my spirit.
Amen.
You know, we guys, we sit there with the wives and we're having trouble and we can't understand. Well, you need to start blessing your wife. You need to start. You need to start showing favor to her because she's your partner, and everything that you do for that woman, and it's the same way for that woman it does for the man. Instead of trying to beat him up and calling him names and he's no good this and she's no good that, and all you are is naggy, nag, nag. Well, then what you're speaking that into their lives. You're speaking all that into your existence, your experience, right into your marriage, and it goes right into your children, and where it's a joy, there is none. But when you sit there and you start speaking the love, and you start speaking all that good stuff into their lives, and start worshiping them, you know, when you worship your husband and you really worship your wife, you get the benefit from it.
Yeah.
You get the benefit. That's the same as when we worship the Lord. We get the benefit from worshiping him.
You said that right.
And we get mad at God and we get all this other stuff at God and everything else that's going on. Excuse me. And everything else that's going on in our lives because we're looking at the daily life. We're not laying it down before God and the troubles and all these other things, you know. They're coming by us, and we keep looking at that, and we keep carrying that load, and we keep carrying it, and we get angry at God instead of dropping it and sit there and worship Him. And then let Him lighten the load and let Him carry it. And we benefit. We benefit from it. This is the God that we serve. You know, and that word serve, everybody thinks of that, I'm not a waiter, I'm not a waitress, I'm not serving nothing. Well, that's not the serving that's what the meaning of this word is. That's what we sit there and we minister to God by worshiping Him, by loving on Him, and then we, in turn, receive that love and that joy of His peace and His kindness and His goodness. That's the God we serve. That's the God I serve, anyhow. Praise God. So,
amen.
I've been listening to a lot of different people and their descriptions of heaven and so on and so forth. And some of it's funny and some of it's kind of disturbing in some respects. You know, I mean, I used to do motorcycle ministry and these guys are hardcore motorcycle riders and stuff. They say, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to get on my Harley and I'm just going to ride right through eternity. And I told one guy one time, I said, you know, I said, there's a lot of wind in your face and a lot of sitting up there and a lot of bugs in your teeth, you know, to go through eternity like that. I said, God's got more than that. And we don't realize it. We hear fishermen, yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit there and just throw out the line. I said, what? I said, every couple million years, I said, you get a nibble. I said, what are you going to do in the meantime? You know, I said, well, I'm going to just lay on the beach and I'm going to soak up the sun. I said, well, you get to heaven, there ain't no water. We don't need it. I said, and God will be the sun. I said, eventually he's going to look down and say, you need to get a job. You know, as pastors and ministers, and truly we don't know what God has planned for us in heaven, but there's got to be more than the sitting on a cloud and eating grapes and all these other things. You know, God has a plan, a great plan for each and every one of us. And I know that every day that those who miss out, that refuse to receive the Lord and miss out, I know he has a tear. And because there are greater things. And, you know, I was sitting there tonight just before the radio broadcast. I'm talking to the Lord. And, you know, it says the new Jerusalem will drop down, will come down. But also he says that there's 12 gates. That's one for each tribe of Israel.
Yeah.
And, you know, what tribe or what gate will you be going through? The tribe of Judah? Tribe of Benjamin? We don't know. But, you know, I think, and I got a revelation. I don't know how far, this is my own opinion, guys. No, you can take it from where you want. But we can see where each of the tribes, and where they had failed going into the wilderness. Well, I think it was Manasseh, and that they decided to stay on the other side of Jordan. I believe I'm right. The two tribes. They didn't want to cross over the Jordan River, because they liked the land where it was at. You know, that's fine. So who would be going through those gates? The ones who would just sit there and say, hey, I'm just going to get in by the skin of my teeth. Hey, I'll just be lucky to get in. I'll be glad. And those who progressed, and those who went to war, and who fought, and those who progressed. You know, and we look through, you have to look through each one of the tribes and where they stood with Moses, and when they stood in the wilderness, and where they began, and where they went through, and how they got to where they got to go into the promised land. Now, that's just only my opinion, but I was sitting there thinking about that, and God gave me that revelation, and I'm going, you know, that's something we really need to have to sit there and consider and look at and think about, you know, and bring it into our meetings and take that. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, you guys are more than welcome to sit there and correct me on that. If you need to. But I've been just lately, as I've been ministering and watching God move in so many different areas in our lives, and I've been watching and just overseeing this how God is just moving. You know, we're seeing today with the Pope come to the U.S. Did you know that he had said prior, just when he was in Cuba, that it's not good to worship, but to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but to worship the church?
My God, I hear you, brother. I hear you, brother.
We're coming into a time, guys, and he told the atheists, says, don't worry about it if you don't believe in God, because he's a merciful God and you'll still get into heaven.
I hear you, brother. We're in that hour.
You know, we're in that time. And you know, we can't play with heaven and earth, and we can't play anymore. And we have to get a visual of what is in the spirit world, not what is of this world, because everybody's looking at the world. We need to look beyond it. That's what I opened up with. I said, you know, God is being a good God, and there's more to heaven than what we can see. But God will show us. As I was sitting there earlier and praying, and God gave me a name, his name was Robinson. I don't know if his first name or last name. And I'm sitting there and going, well, what do I need to say? And the apostle, when you were talking, you were saying, God will fight your battle. And I think this person, Robinson, I don't know who it is, he's been fighting, and the word for him right now is just to lay it down, give it up. Let God fight this battle for you. You can't fight it. It's not yours to fight.
My God. Huh?
Yeah. Amen.
And you know, I was sitting there and just even praying and sitting there, and all of a sudden I see gold. It was like a snowstorm of gold, just falling. God's glory is about to ready to be popped loose, and is about to fall on his chosen. It's about ready to be dropped onto those of his children, and we need to prepare and get ready. And we gotta stop playing games with, well, I'm gonna be sitting on a cloud in heaven and eating grapes. And we gotta sit there and really get into the word and get into an understanding of the word. And we have to really begin to sit there and dig deep, because God is revealing more and more and more. And we need to be able to entice these people. I had two young girls that gave their lives to the Lord Sunday. And it's been ongoing.
Amen.
And it's been ongoing. And you know, like I started out, I think, with two. I had 20 people at the service Sunday night.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Glory to God.
I'm not playing. I'm not sugarcoating anything. I've been telling it like it is. I've been telling the scripture like it is. I've been sitting there getting in-depth and deep, and these young girls sit there and say, well, is the world going to end? Are we going to die? And I sit there and I said, no, honey, you're not going to die. I said, God is going to take care of us. But in the meantime, I said, yes, there's a natural death, and then there's a spiritual death. And he says, the one you have to worry about is a spiritual death. But I said, you don't have to worry, because God is going to take us out of the mist of the trouble that is going to come upon this earth. I said, but we are going to have trials, and we're going to have other things. I said, make no mistakes about it. Even every day. I said, you know, God will throw a stumbling block in our way to slow us down, to get us to think, get us to get us turned around, to stop us from going forward into something that we don't need to be going into. It's just as much Jude had said there and talked about, about the enemy coming in and trying to stop you. He'll attack you in any, every which way you can. And a lot of times, it's all in your thoughts. I worked with a young man here the last 3 or 4 weeks ministering to him. And I'd have the radio off, you know, and he'd get in here and he would sit there and he says, I can't have the radio, I got to have it on. I says, you keep searching for God. I says, but you don't want to listen to him. You have to have noise. And we can't have that. If you want to seek God, you have to sit patiently and you have to sit quietly and maybe you'll get negative thoughts, and maybe you will get positive thoughts. Maybe you get some obscure thoughts. Maybe you get whatever else. But then you need to sit there and meditate on those thoughts. Because in those thoughts, God is speaking to you. And when they're so obscured and so outrageously thoughts, maybe those are what God needs you to understand.
My God.
And instead of saying, well, those were just crazy thoughts, and so it was kind of crazy for Jesus to step out of the heavenly realms and be birthed through a woman in order to give his life, to sit there and be beaten and trotted down in order to turn the world back right side up so he could redeem each and every one of us. If that's a little obscure.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that God won't do for us.
Yeah.
And even as obscure as it may seem, the only time we know that we know that we know is when we're doing something that is wrong. And that, because that is embedded in us from the day we are born, right and wrong.
Amen.
The only it is as a child, our parents will sit there and say, no, honey, don't do that. That's not right. No, that's not nice. Don't hit them. Don't slap them. Don't do this. No, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. I think the first word a child ever learns is no.
Nah, mama.
But you understand, because at that age they're taught. At that mighty young age they're taught. And what are they teaching the kids now with the video games and all the obscurity and all the demonic music and all the video games that you're watching and these movies and everything else? And it's becoming a reality, and we're seeing it progress in life. God said this would be a lost generation, and that's exactly what's happening, because we're raising them up that way. They're not being told. They're not being told the truth. And when the truth does come, it seems to become unreal and unnatural and just out of disorder. But out of that disorder comes order.
Mm.
Because God brings order into our disorder. When we're disobedient, God brings obedience.
Yeah.
When we're faithful. When we're faithful in the dark times, and we're faithful in the valleys, and we're faithful on top of the mountain, when we're faithful, God is there with us, and He doesn't leave us, and He doesn't do anything else but to reward us. And even when we stumble, He rewards us, not by telling us off, not by chewing us out, not by spanking our butt. Let's say, come on, get up. Come on, let's
get up.
Worry about it. We'll deal with it later. Let's go. Come on. Look at this. There's another mountain. Look, there's another star to reach. Come on, let's go. This is the God we serve. This is the loving God that we serve. He's a merciful God. And He's given us a written word for us to be able to read and see. And it is that we need to ask Him for the understanding of the word that we read. You know, even as I was sitting there and ministering last night at the men's meeting, and I had talked to the guys prior, a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, and I says, you know, you guys are having trouble with your wives. I says, when was the last time that you washed your feet? When's the last time as submitted yourself? And it says, to wash your feet as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and pray over them. I said, not what you want, but to pray a blessing over your wife as you wash her feet, as Jesus prayed the blessings and over the disciples and for the righteousness and the direction in the path that they take, and to be that every foot and step that they took, where they be in the valley, they stand firm, or where they be on the mountain, they be sure-footed, no matter where they went as they walked, that they were guided by the Holy Spirit and not to slip and fall. I said, these are the prayers you need to pray over your husband, and these are the prayers you need to pray over your wife. You submit to one another to that point, because out of that, you will gain the righteousness. You will see a different change. You will see a love grow that you haven't seen in your marriage in years because you lost the ability to submit to one another.
My God.
You know, sometimes a simple little thing like that, it like I said, we can talk about the building of the temple. We can talk about David and everybody in the Bible. You know, everybody said, well, why did God do this and why did God do that? Well, God didn't do that. He allowed it to happen. Well, why did he allow it to happen? Because you wouldn't listen to him in the first place. Everybody in the Bible who stumbled, who fell, is because they turned their back, they turned their ear, a deaf ear to the Lord, the word of God, and they stumbled and they fell. And the nations that turned their back and thought they were bigger and better and knew more than God, they fell and they were destroyed. And God allowed it. And how He raised up a kingdom.
Mm.
He raised up the righteous.
Amen.
See, in this world, in this nation, as we know the end of the story, we know what's coming about, and we see we're living in times. We're seeing where this nation is turning its back on Israel, and this nation is aligning itself with Russia, and we're seeing all these other things that are coming about in Syria, and we're seeing all this stuff that's coming about. We're seeing the false prophet, even if, like I said, why would the Pope come and sit there and tell the atheists it's okay, you're going to go to heaven? That's not biblical.
Pastor.
Amen.
That is not biblical, and we not need to listen to it. What we need to do is be able to get into a righteous church. We need to ask God, where, Father, do you want me to go to learn, to sit under, to listen? You know, if you're sitting in a prosperity preaching church, and God forgive me, but if you're sitting in there and you're not getting fed, you ask God to say, move me, take me to a place where I can get some food. I am hungry.
My God, what a word.
Because you need to do it for yourself, because like I said, when we're sitting there listening to people saying, yeah, I'm just going to get on my Harley, and I said, I'm going to ride through eternity. Boy, that's all I'm going to do, just sit back and ride. You have no thought. You have nothing of knowledge, of knowing or understanding what God may have prepared for us for the kingdom of heaven. We have no thought or no knowledge. All we are thinking about is one, not even a pinhead, not even one single grain of sand on the beach is of what your thought pattern is compared to what God has planned for us. And all we are thinking about is sitting on the cloud eating grapes and having the angels go get you another batch of grapes so they can feed you. That is lunacy, guys. We need to be able to put some reality, and we need to be able to bring some understanding. And then also we need to be able to know that where we're standing in Christ and who we are. Because without the even knowing who we are in Christ and understanding, we can miss it. We can miss the train. We can miss the boat. I don't care whatever you want to call it. We can miss it. Lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge, my children perish.
Mm.
We need to begin right now. We need to begin to be able to sit there and be able to bring some order. And we, you know, like I've told you before, I've only written three sermons in my life, and I've had to throw each one on the floor and stand on the Word of God, and because he usually has a message that I just open up and let it go, you know, when you're standing in the church and it's a cookie cutter church and you're doing the same thing over and over and over, and when you're disrupting that of the Holy Spirit, when it's moving in there because your agenda is more important than that what is moving in the church, you have failed your congregation. You have failed Christ. You have failed yourself. Because as a leader, in order to lead, we needed to submit. We needed to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do whatever it was that He was doing, because there was maybe that one person that needed that extra boost, that extra minute, that extra time, that extra second or so to make that commitment, to make that charge, to be able to stand up and go to the altar, or whatever the case may be, in order to sit there and receive what the Spirit of God was bringing, and we stop and interfere in it. Praying with a pastor last week, and I knew where I was supposed to be, and I laid my hands on, and I started praying with him, and it was like a free fall. Everybody got up, and a guy hit me in the back of my shoulder, and it literally broke the spirit for a second, and I had to sit there and really bring in and concentrate and dig deep, and that tears were running down my face while I was ministering to this pastor. But yes, you. Because out of zealous, out of whatever else that was going on, that the disruption almost broke this pastor's healing. We need to be a little bit more submissive to the Holy Spirit. We need to be a little bit more submissive to those who God has put before us. And we need to be able to humble ourselves to a point and know that our loving God, our God in heaven, who has created everything and has put the things in our path and put the righteousness in our hearts, that we should be able to walk and be able to withstand the darts and the arrows and the flames and whatever else is thrown at us, that we also be able to sit there and speak it without fear and be able to speak it into a point where it pierces, to be able to speak it so we can sit there and take charge of what God has given us charge over. And that's basically my word for the night, guys.
Well, you know what, my brother? I want to just say here and praise the Lord, because what God has done for us, God has blessed us. God has called us to come to a point. And you know, right here in America, I heard what you said. The Pope comes to tell the unrighteous people, you're going to go to heaven. They need to repent what they need to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I tell you, the times we live in, more what God is doing to me, God has been giving me so much to see, to write, to put on Facebook, and seem like every time I'm back at the computer, I'm putting this somewhere else on there. It's God constantly talking to the people.
Amen. I've been reading your stuff, man. You're supposed to be putting out some good stuff out there.
Well, I'm just trying to reach out and touch and tell the untold, come and know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. See, the importance of what we are doing, and I have a judge that works with me on a Thursday night. He come on the radio, and he said to me, he said, "Hunter," he said, "I need your prayers." I said, "You got them, Judge." He said, "When people come before me with the chains on them," he said, "first thing they ask me," he said, "I ask them a question, what can I do for you? And the judge said, "The people that come before him said, can you take these chains off of me?" That's a statement, brother. Can you take these chains off of me?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, "No, I can't, but I can help you to get yourself to a place where they will come off of you."
Amen. Amen.
Amen. He put him in a piece of.
Amen.
He said, he talked one, said, "Well, I tell you, if you will do this and this and this, and you have to come back here," and you know what the man say? He said, "No, I don't want no work. I don't want to do nothing." See, men have lost the reality of doing what God has called them to do.
This is true. This is very much so. It's like I said, yeah. I've been seeing it, and I've been watching it. And you know, of course, with the media, you know, playing up to all this stuff, and the people are seeing the media. If we don't realize, the media is really controlling. because they're saying this is bad and this is bad, and everybody's forming an opinion. Well, if the media says it's bad, then it's popular opinion, and that's bad. And then they're going against the Word of God.
Hmm.
Think
you
about
have
it.
Amen.
Amen. And see, one thing I come to find out, I know that we have the fivefold ministry, but the fivefold ministry should be on fire. And when I can read the book of Ephesians, what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and spoke to them, and he said some words in there. He said, "What I have received is not of man." He
That's
said,
right.
"That was given to me. It was by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He certified, he bonafide his position. We who walk the same route, we have to bonafide, because we're living in a time where right now, my brothers, all I can tell you is much prayer is needed for the body of Christ like never before.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I was telling somebody, I said, I don't care if you're a pastor, you're an apostle, you're a teacher, you're an evangelist, are you of the fivefold ministry? We are the one that's we are the one on the front line.
That's
but
right.
To get them to come together in prayer, because they got a meeting, they got a meeting, they got a meeting, got a meeting, got a meeting. And so I said, well, that's why I looked at it. I said, okay, if I'm a son of God, I have a little more authority. Someone take my position as a small S-O-N of God and do what God has called me to do. Because we're living in that time, brother. We're living in it right now.
Right. Amen.
It's going faster and faster. We're seeing it accelerate. And God said in the end times it'll accelerate. It says more and more will fall away, and even the elite will be fooled. And you know, we're seeing it. We're seeing it. We're seeing some of the big mega churches, how they're waffling on God's word, and you know, just to appease the people.
Go ahead.
You think for a minute that when Gideon took his army and he went down to the water and God sat there and said, send everybody home but them 300? What do you think it's going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God does not change. Forever is forever, you know. I mean, you're listening to people out there and they're saying, well, you know, we don't have to do the Feast of Tabernacle, but God sits there and says the Feast of Tabernacle is forever. That's almost like saying, well, okay, well, Jesus came, and so we don't have to do that anymore. That's like God sitting there telling you, this is halfway through eternity, I'm going to let you out of hell. So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, praise God. One thing I was in meditation, much prayer about. Because Jesus came, he said, he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it.
Amen.
That's right.
And
Amen.
He was nailed to the cross. All the law, the curse that they try to put against me or you, can't do it because we got Jesus Christ.
Right.
They can't put a curse on me.
That's right.
No, you lost your touch. And I look at the script, and I see where he wants no more sacrifices. He don't want no more bulls or buttocks, no more doves. He nailed it to the cross. The high priest back then would go into the Holy of Holy Place and make a sin offering once a year. But the Bible tells me in the New Testament that he come and made one. Jesus Christ, he made one sacrifice, he made one movement, he became one, and he obeyed the law of God. So I asked somebody a question one day. I said, can you do what God did? He said, according to what it is, I can do it. I said, nobody can do what God did through Jesus Christ. Nobody.
First of all,
I only have one son. I love my son. What if God said to me, give me your son up? Well, I know it's a past thing, But I said, well, now, Lord, you've already accomplished that through Jesus Christ. Now, won't you love my son? I will be honest with you, brother. That is my only son. Now, look at it. God's only son. Out of his bosom, his only son. But I told somebody, I started reading the script, and I found where they would talk to each other. He said, I was the light of his, I was, Jesus said back in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, he said, I was the light of his eyes. They would see each other, and he was talking in the bosom. My God of mine. And see, we're living in that time. I want to see Jesus, man. I want to see Jesus. By me seeing
Amen.
Me, I'm going to see God. And also, I have to put in this. The Holy Spirit is moving in the land today.
Well, he's moving, and he is collecting, and he is calling. You know what I said? I saw in the Spirit, I saw the dust of gold, you know. Everybody's been preaching, yes, God wants us to have new things, and he wants us to have good things, but he wants us that what we really look in Scripture, it is about the kingdom of heaven. It is about his Spirit. It is about what he has for us in the kingdom of heaven and not of earthly bound things. This is, and those who are open for that are going to receive that glory, that dusting of gold. And it's not a glitter that you do, that we see sometimes when we hear of it, the gold dust falling in the churches and diamonds in the pews. And there is a God is doing a pouring out right now. And those who are open vessels, not for the earthly bound goods of the world, new cars, TVs, million-dollar mansions, those who are rejecting, not to say it's not good to have, to reject that for the Holy Spirit, for the kingdom of heaven, for what the blessings of God has in heaven for us, for the knowledge and then the understanding, and for the glory of God, that glory, the Shekinah glory that he is going to pour out on those open vessels. Those are the ones that those are the ones who are going to receive.
And you know one thing, I was praying, talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, you're awesome. You're the only one who can say I am that I am. Mm. And besides me, there is nobody else.
Mm.
Think about that. There is nobody
Amen.
Else.
Amen. Amen.
Nobody like God.
We're just remnants. We're just a thought pattern of him.
I mean to take notice when the apostle was teaching, and he said God took his face and put it through the cloud, and those they saw his face, they took out running. They saw the God of Israel, and they took out running. Can you imagine just to see the God, see the shadow of God? You try to bury your face in mud and everything, and the face of God is eternal, and it's just beaming. You just be trying to hide yourself. My God, that's why we got Jesus. My God. And before I look into it, I said, Moses, we want to talk to God. We want to see him. And he said, okay, God, he told him what to do. And they got ready to go up there. They get real glory. They got ready to go up there to go to God. And he said, on this day, you're going to do that. They went up there, and the first thing they heard was the thundering of God's voice. They took out running. They didn't see his face, but they took out running. They heard his voice. Now, can you imagine what Adam did when he was in the Bible, in the garden? He said, I heard your voice. Now, this is what gets me. Walking in the garden. My.
In the cool
God's
of the day.
Voice, walking in the garden. My God.
Amen.
I mean, God's voice. His voice was walking. Now I know the translation of it. But I'll be telling you, ain't nowhere to hide. Where you going to hide at? The devil knows it.
Yeah, amen, amen. You know, if you want to see God's face, if you truly want to see God's face and if Christ is in you, all you need to do is go look in the mirror and he'll be looking right back at you.
Thank you.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
I said to everybody, that's what you just said. I said, the more you take a look in the mirror, you see, I say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Take a look at me before you fall. I dare you to fall. But we're living in a time, brother. We're living in a time. Well, we who know that we know must do what God calls to do.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not burnt, but I'm kind of hurt. Because I've asked many ministers that I know, can we do this? You know what they tell me? Well, you know, I got to get permission from my board. I got to get my permission. What? What about the Holy Spirit?
That's right.
Well, you know, I'm governor. I said, and you
Amen.
Know what? That's a form of religion. And
that's
religion
right.
to tie you and us down.
That's
what say the people. If you got your church, don't put it under no deacons.
That's false doctrine.
That's right. You know,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, the first church I'm at, the pastor that has the church says, whatever you do, brother, says, fine with me. He says, we're going to just let the Holy Spirit do whatever it needs to be done. And that's an open door, and it doesn't make any difference in what we do. If we sing praises all night, or if we get into the Word, or we get into prayer, or whatever else, we just follow the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, that little place there is really booming in miracles.
Amen.
Because we're not hindered by, okay, at 6:30, okay, praise and worship, okay, 6:35, okay, it's time for announcements, 6:37, okay, I'm going with the word and 6:40. You know what? On the average, we start at 6:30, and we don't get out of there until 10:30, sometimes 11 o'clock at night.
But, you know, I always say this, time is of value, but with God,
Amen.
There is no time.
Oh, no time.
See, there's time.
He can give you as much as you need.
What we live at now, I know we have to keep certain things in order. But at the same time, what I love that God did through John Osteen, it blessed me. John, when I was coming there, we had to be at the church. He had a prayer building. But you go in there, you could pray. And sometimes I stayed in there and prayed for an hour. And by that time I went inside, they were singing and praising God. Well, the prayers were offered, not a singing, for about another 30 minutes prayer. And then all of a sudden, he stand and he said, praise the Lord. And the word came forth, and we saw miracles. Miracles on top of miracles.
Amen.
I was there with my own eyes, with my own little brownies. I was there to see it. And I told somebody, that, well, you know his son. I said, wait a minute, I'm not talking about his son. I'm talking about what I saw him do. But I saw his son behind the scene. His son didn't want to preach, but he's behind the scene, seeing what his daughter, what his daddy was doing, so he took the rim. And I told somebody, I said, stop always trying to criticize. And exercise, because God give us all our lane. Stay in your lane.
Amen.
If you're a
Amen.
Teacher, if you're a teacher, teach. If you're a pastor, pastor. If you're an apostle, apostle. If you're an evangelist, evangelist. Stay. I always said that. I learned this. This is my thing. Stay in your lane.
That's it.
That's right. We got a guy in one of the churches that I attend to here, and he's into everybody's business.
That's a scum. Well, you know, brother, I'm going to tell y'all something. And on Monday nights, I have about 200 people come on the line. On Saturday night, I have that amount, almost that same amount. But these are young women. That's why I ask the question, where are the men? These are young women that love the Lord. Where are the men? Where are they? Are they out shooting hooky? Are they out playing hooky? Where are the men? That's why you see me writing so much on Facebook. Where are the men?
They're all fishing. They're all fishing, riding their Harleys, and sitting eating grapes up on the, and then laying on the beach up in heaven.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
That's, you know, that's a shame, because that's the attitude, and that's what they come to, you know, because they've lost. We've lost. To be able to minister, we've lost to be able to, you know, we've gotten away from the Word of God. You know, if you get in depth with, you know, some of my teachings, when I teach, the people are just like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, really? And then now you got them, and they want to learn, and they want to know more. And instead of, you know, trying to, you know, well, we don't want to shake these people up, and we don't want to scare them, you know, and, you know, even like I did that deal a while back, and when I was preaching on the Revelation 16, I did the first four vials, and I sit there, and there was the impromptu wedding at that church, and I said, sister, I'm going to do this other half, and she says, I know, and I was, but you know what, Abbott? It's even as much as scary as it sounded, which we know it's not scary because we know it's the end times, and God loves us, He's showing us, and He's telling us that these things are happening. But one girl gave her life to the Lord because it opened her eyes.
Well, you know, one thing I'll tell you this, I experienced something this past Saturday. I told y'all that my nephew went on to be with the Lord. Yes, he went on to be with the Lord. And so I had to give the eulogy. And as I stood, God changed the message. Instantaneously.
Amen.
I looked out and saw the elder people, but the elder people were not ready for what they don't want to hear. No, they don't want to hear no additional word. They want to hear what they want to hear, and that's the bottom line. And so
that's
I
right.
began to talk to, I said, well, I want to talk to the young people. And talking to the young people, I brought in the sports, but I put it to the Word of God. I said, now, Ralph is going to be with the Lord, but the Lord has given me a word to reach the young people. And as I give it to them, I said, the first thing, I don't know if Ralph left baseball, but in loving baseball, you got to know how to play the position. And some people that I was telling them to, they said, well, as long as you get to first base, no, you can't get to first base if you don't get to home plate. You got to start up at the home plate.
That's right.
And some people don't understand
that.
So some people, we got to get busy and teach them. And so I make it simple and clear. And I told them, I said, all of a sudden, three balls came by. And I said, Ralph kicked, he took his stick and hood up. He said, wait a minute. He stopped because he wanted to go ask the coach. He said, coach, do you think I get that ball? Coach said, yeah. He said, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He knows he's going to throw a fast ball. It's going to come with lightning. But he laid his hands on Ralph and said, Ralph, you can go out there and do it. I said, when Ralph went back, crack, the ball was out of the park. I said, that's what Jesus does for us.
Amen.
He puts his hands on us and watch the ball just go zip. I mean, three balls. Got two strikes, one fastball. And the fastball is a strike because he put it down 104 miles an hour. That's why you got to stay ready for the ball. You got to stay. So I mentioned to him about basketball. I said the score was tied. It was 100-100. I said, and they called, said, Ralph, come out here. And Ralph said, oh, I can't do that. And the coach said, yes, you can, ref. Put his hands on Ralph again. He said, Ralph, all you got to do is, you got two shots. All you got to do is make one. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. And shoot the ball. And Ralph did. And he went, yay! Ralph done it, Ralph done it. I said, let me tell you what, though. We see Ralph right here. Ralph asleep. God put his hand on Ralph. He's asleep. I said, God's going to do us if we don't be ready. Because he said, the dead in Christ going to rise, and we who are alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Guess what? Amen.
Those young people came to my house. Who are you, man? I'm just a man that loved the word. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm not trying to kick you out. I'm not think I'm better than you. But I know I have a position I got to keep away from the enemy. I got to do it right. But I love you. I love you. And y'all enjoy yourself.
Amen. Amen.
I told them these words. I said, I will see y'all in church Sunday. And they said,
amen.
What church? No. I didn't give them an option. I will see you in church Sunday. In other words, I'm saying, I believe you're going to go to church.
Amen.
I don't know, but God knew. Brother,
yeah,
I'm ready.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what, my brothers? I want to thank y'all once again. We spent some time on here, and I'm going to let us off the air. But I want to thank y'all because that's something else I'm ready to do. I want us to, y'all keep praying for me, and I pray for y'all. And remember my
Amen.
Words. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until the next time, the Lord bless you.
Amen. God bless y'all.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.